1 Thessalonians 3:9 says this, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, "Thank God for you." Father, I thank you for this time together this morning. I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters that are here, that we get to share and celebrate your goodness, and God, that we get to be here to bless and strengthen one another. And God, that even though we will separate at the close of service, we're not separate, Lord, because your Spirit keeps us as one body, one spirit, Lord, one heart. Help us to maintain that, Lord, throughout the day, every day, Lord, in a way that blesses everybody that's a part of our body, but also in a way that glorifies you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In preparing for Thanksgiving these last couple of weeks and thinking about what I wanted to share, I asked myself, what is the best way? Because I want to know what I'm really the most thankful for. You know, we think, again, when Thanksgiving comes, we think, oh, I'm thankful for these things, but what am I really the most thankful for? What is it that I could think about? What question could I ask myself that would help me to know the thing that I'm the most thankful for? And what I determined was the best way to decide that was to, at the end of life, what am I going to look back on and what's going to make me the happiest? Or what's going to make me feel the most fulfilled? What will I be, what will I consider to be the most meaningful thing to me when I reach that point in life? And of course, I'm sure it's the same answer for me that it is for most of you, and that is family. What's going to matter to me in that moment in time is my family. Looking back on them and the life that I had with them and feeling, and I think that at this point anyways, I can look and say, I'm going to feel very happy and content with the family that I've been a part of and that has been a part of me. And I think I'll be okay with it. I think I'm going to be, that's what's going to be important. That's how I know that that's all, when that time comes, that's all that's going to matter to me. If that's all that matters to me, then that's probably the thing that I'm most thankful for. Amen? Does that make sense? And so I because those people are what have given me purpose. They've given me happiness. They've given me a sense of accomplishment. It's given my life meaning. And so that's the thing that I want in life. I want to feel like I made a difference. I want to feel like there was purpose. And those people are the ones that are going to provide that for me. That is, without a doubt, the thing that I am most thankful for. But it wasn't just that. I realized we had a council meeting this last Tuesday night, and as we were in council meeting and afterwards, and I kind of shared with them, I said, you know, I'm just really thankful for the church council. We've had a really good church council, and I've been really grateful. They have made, there's crazy stuff that goes on in ministry, man. You just would not believe this, you know. It's not, ministry is not what you think it is, okay? They've made these last couple years my most enjoyable in ministry in 30 plus years of being in ministry. And that really says something. It's because you're working with people who were working together. There's not personal agendas being promoted. You know, there's not ways of getting something over on. We don't have anybody that's just, some people are just contentious by nature. Do you know what I mean? The Bible actually talks about it. It says you'd be better to live on the corner of a roof than with a contentious, do you know what the next word is? Wife. But there certainly are contentious men too. But just being content, there are people that are just contentious. And so I just thought how grateful I am that I'm enjoying, you know, my time here as pastor, and it's the council has been a big part of it. I thought last week, and I shared with Judy on the way home, I said how thankful I am for Kate as our worship leader. I don't know, you may not be aware of it so much, but that a lot of small churches like us don't have somebody that's able to have the quality of musicianship and sing and lead and stuff the way that he does. You know, I appreciate people that we've all had in the past, But it would be very different if we were still here trying to do something as some churches, you know, they sing on with a video or they sing with, it's just not the same thing. I mean, what a difference it makes to have that life and the spiritual presence that music brings. And I'm just super grateful for that. I'm grateful the fact that, you know, and he's here 50, 51 Sundays a year. I mean, it's just, he sometimes says, I've been there 50 straight Sundays, you know, and that's true. But, you know, how grateful I am that I can count on that. And the same thing, like with Mark and Chris and Alyssa, and, you know, I don't have to worry about those things. It just all happens. You know, when those things go unnoticed. I always tell them, you know, the worst thing that you can see as a sound person is this. People turning around and looking at you, right? The best you can hope for is to go unnoticed, because you only get noticed when something isn't working right. And so it's a thankless position, you know. I think about Brooke downstairs, and so thank God she's back, you know. I mean, hallelujah. I mean, I appreciate all the people that helped out, but you don't. It's hard to replace somebody that's just so loving and conscientious, you know, as she is at what she does in the nursery. I mean, what a difference it makes. And I know everybody that's had to help out in the nursery, they're really glad that she's back too, right? I was thinking about Jim and Jen Denman and Kim Clousing. I was thinking about this. They've been, I think, like for the last 9 years, 9 years. Do you know in the church, anybody that does something that long, that's a long time. They've been doing our youth, just faithful. And what a difference that makes. I'm so grateful for that, you know, to see that kind of faithfulness. And just know that it's taken care of by people who really care about it. And think about all the lives that have passed through there, those young teen lives that have passed through there over a 9-year period. I mean, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of young lives they've touched. Not to mention how thrilling it is just to see them raise a family of their own that's serving God in such a wonderful way. I mean, that's a blessing. There's no doubt about it. We've had a lot of other people. Jen's been doing the administrative stuff in the office since before I came here. I mean, how great that is. Margie took over the bill paying and bookkeeping and that kind of stuff here a while back. And that is a big deal. We thought we may have to go out and hire somebody to do that, pay somebody to do that. But she said, well, I think I can do it. And she hasn't run out screaming yet. She still has all of her hair, it looks like. You know, before that, Donna was doing it, and she did a great job. And I can't stand up here and name all the people because it's been, you know, it's been a long time now, but all the people that have been so faithful, I always know that everything's taken care of when it comes to any kind of social thing we do with Joanne and her group of people that she's always got to call on. You know, I love that we have that big old van, you know, to go out and just have our name on it. And Jennifer has a heart for that. I mean, I love all these things. I appreciate that so much. And it may not show up so much here in our little hometown, but I believe it does make a difference, folks. We're here this morning. We're here this morning. Do you know how many churches in situations like this that have just gone by the wayside in little communities that just, you know, it's tough anymore. I mean, but it's not just that we're here. And I was thinking about this as we were just being in the presence here this morning. It's not just sitting here and counting a number of people. I said to myself and realized it's like, we're here together worshiping God. And we may not be big, but I think that we are by definition, we are a church. We are a church body. We are a healthy, functioning church body that continues on. And I believe that we're in a position to see, you know, things increase even. And I know that seems crazy maybe in Ohio City, but I believe that's possible because with God, it's possible. We want Him working through us. I'm thankful for everybody that's here. I'm thankful for everybody that's a part of this body. It's the people that matter. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. You are my family. You are my body. You make me the totality of who I am, and hopefully I contribute something to you. That's what people are. I thank God for you. I'm thankful for the people, because when it's all said and done and I'm on those final days, you know, whether it's laying in a bed or wherever I count those final days, it's going to be those people. It's going to be my family. It's going to be the people that have partnered with me. It's going to be you that I have a relationship with. That's what matters. All the rest of it that we did, it doesn't, you know, it's just the functionality of what we have to do to live life. But this is what matters. This is where value comes. This is what's important. And I'm so thankful for all of that. I want to, where I opened this morning with 1 Thessalonians 3:9, it says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? And what strikes me about that is, again, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He's thankful for all of them. But what I find really interesting, he says there's joy, the joy we have in the presence of God, but the reason that we can be in the presence of God is because of you. For all of the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you. I can be in God's presence by myself, and so can you. But there is more of God's presence when we're all here together. And so I have joy in being in God's presence, and we can make it more joyful and more of God's presence because of one another. That's what the body of Christ is. And so Paul says, I'm thankful for all of you because you allow me, and we allow each other, we provide the opportunity to be in God's presence. When we join together like this, we can be in God's presence. And there's joy that comes from that. And he's thankful for that. And so I want to look at a few passages of Scripture this morning as we consider preparation for this Thanksgiving about how we understand how important each one of us is, one another, how important people are to being thankful for what we have in our relationship with God. I want to start by looking at Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. Philippians 1, 3 through 5 says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And this passage basically states what I opened with, where he's thanking God for all the people that he has this relationship with. He's thankful for them. The blessing that we have, he is the blessing you are to me causes me to thank God, he says, every time I remember you. When I think about those people, he says, I thank God for those people. Every time I remember you, I'm thankful. Now, that might be a great way for us to think about our lives I certainly could learn and benefit from this. When people think of me, if I'm going to be the person I should be, conduct my life in a way that I should conduct it, when people think of me, are they thankful for me? Some, yes, maybe not. But wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a great way to know if we are being the people that God wants us to be? If I thought about the fact that when people think of me, I want to make my life so that they say, well, I'm thankful for Randy. I'm thankful for knowing him. I'm thankful for him being a part of my life. That's what Paul's saying. The Philippians, for whatever they've done, he says, when I think of them, he says, I'm thankful for them. I thank God for them. So one, we should be those kind of people, but we also should be thankful for people. And he says he thanks God for them in his prayers, and he prays about them. And that's another thing that strikes me. People will say, well, I don't know what to pray about. You know what? Forget about all the different things that you should pray about and what pray about what you're thankful for. Start there. Start by praying about what you're thankful for. Now, let me just say this. If your prayer lasts 30 seconds, you need to examine your life. You need to examine your gratitude level, okay? If you pray about what you're thankful for, it's a great starting place because it gets you in a frame of mind that God wants us to be in. And from that, I guarantee you, if you start there, more things will come. Because you can pray about the things that you're thankful for, but you know what I find is I want to pray about things that I may not be thankful for right now, but I want to become thankful for. I want to see them change so that there's situations that where I am thankful for those answers to prayer and thankful for those situations that have been changed. So he says he thanks. Every time he remembers the Philippians, he's thankful for them. And while we have these friendships and partnerships with one another that he references, verses 4 and 5 reminds us that ultimately we're working together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So yes, he's thankful for the people and he thanks God for them in his prayers, but ultimately it's because he says of the partnership that he has with them in the gospel. That's what makes us a body. That's what makes us a family. Because we're partners for the purpose of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he's thankful for them because they're partnering with him in doing that. He ultimately, what we are as a body of Christ is for the purpose of advancing the gospel. And that's what he says. He's thankful because they partner with him in the gospel. And they've done that, he says, from the first day until now. That's what we're here. If we want to know why we're here, if we want to know why we're a church, if we want to know why we're a body, if we want to know why we are members of the body, one to another, why we're a family, the purpose is to advance the gospel. And so what we do in accomplishing that work, we should be thankful for, and we should look at it with one another with thanks because you are my partner in doing that. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. I thank God because I have seen your and my faith grow over these years that we've been here together. I believe that, you know, that people have grown. I mean, I hope that I've contributed that to my teaching has helped people in their growth. I know that certainly dealing and interacting with people has helped me grow. And he says that he thanks God because of your faith is growing more and more. And your faith, my faith, I'm grateful that we've seen it grow. I had a really great compliment. I won't share the specifics, but somebody told me one time they'd been attending this church for 70 years. And they said, I've learned more in the time that you've been here and you're preaching than I did in all those 70 years combined before. And so I believe what he was saying is that you've helped my faith grow. And, there's nothing that you can tell me. There's nothing I can imagine hearing that would bless me more than that. So again, Paul's writing here, he thanks God for his brothers. I thank God for you that hopefully I've seen your faith grow and hopefully you've seen me grow as well. The first time I ever spoke here before I was even became the pastor, I just was kind of filling in. I really was impressed with it. I thought this was a very warm and welcoming church. And the people came up to me in a very loving and open manner. And I believe that that's still true. If somebody comes in here, they're going to get greeted. They're going to be warmly welcomed into this church. And I believe that that's what we should be. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that that's the kind of body that we are. He says that they're growing in their faith more and more, but he also says, and love. Faith and love. And so we can always grow more in love too. Be more open, more welcoming, more outreaching to the people around us. And he's thankful for that. But all these things are dealing with people. All these things are dealing with people. So he says that he's thankful for their faith and for their love that each one of them shows and that it's increasing. And I believe that that's what God wants us. He's calling us to more, increase in those regards. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this kind of describes what I've been talking about up to this point. Starting in verse 13, it says, because of your service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Verses 13 and 14 describes, like I said, kind of what I've been talking about. He says, your service. He's thankful for their service. He's thankful for their obedience. He's thankful for their confession of the gospel and for their generosity. For all these things he says, I thank God because of you. He's thankful because these things are being done within the body of Christ. He's thankful because these people that he's thanking God for are doing the work of the kingdom. Because of your service, because of your obedience, because of your confession of the gospel, because of your generosity. All these things make up doing the work of the kingdom. And so Paul says, I'm thankful for you because you are doing these things that advance the kingdom of God. It's not just the labor, it's not just the works of service, the confession of the gospel, the obedience, the generosity. It's not that. It's that doing those things causes those who are impacted by them, who see them, who feel them, to experience the gospel. When we serve, when we're obedient, when we're generous, when we do those things, then people feel the reality of the gospel. And Paul says, I'm thankful for that because you're doing that, because you're serving, because you're obedient, because you're generous. The world around us sees and feels the reality of the gospel. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. They see and experience and have the good news of the kingdom of God. This is possible only because he talks about these indescribable gifts. We can do the work of the kingdom. The world can experience the work of the kingdom because we're empowered by these indescribable gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that over the years we've become a church that is more understanding and more open to the fact that we do have gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we do need to put them into practice, and we do use them in a way that makes a difference. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3, kind of further describing what I'm talking about. Colossians 3, starting in verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are to be thankful as we let God's peace, it says, rule and reign in our hearts, as we live as one body. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And at the end of that, he says, Because we're members of one body. We're called to peace. And then he says, be thankful. Be thankful. We can have peace. We should have peace as Christ rules and reigns in our hearts. He rules and reigns in our hearts through his word, as his word dwells in us. As we sing, as he says, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do we experience that peace? Do we grow in wisdom and gratitude? Does faith increase in our hearts as he describes it here? Because of those things, for all these things, he says, give thanks. Our thankfulness will grow in word and deed as our thanksgiving to God also increases. As we're thankful to God, then all of these other areas of our lives grow. If we're not thankful for what we have, I find it interesting, this connection between thanksgiving or thankfulness and peace. Everybody wants peace in their life, right? It would be nice to have peace. I think it might be tough to have peace if you have nothing that you're thankful for. Because peace comes from a sense of contentment. Lack of worry. Well, if there's nothing that we're thankful for, then I think that means that we must be kind of worrisome, stressed people. Because there's nothing that we set back and just say, I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for this. As I said in my opening, when I think about my family and I'm thankful for it, I find that I'm much more content with my life, with where it's journeyed up to this point and where it's going forward. Because I feel I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for who they are and what they mean to me. and what they are and what they are becoming. I'm thankful for all of that, so I'm content in it. And I find that, I don't know if my wife might not vouch for this, but I know that myself, internally, I'm becoming more of a person at peace. Now, for me, my at peace probably doesn't look like a lot of people's at peace because I'm kind of a kind of person, okay? But trust me, I know that internally I feel, you know, more at peace. And so much of that comes from looking at what I'm grateful for. If I'm grateful for it, if I'm thankful for it, then I have a level of contentment that goes with it. If we want to have peace, we need to have some form of thanksgiving in our lives and look at things and say, I'm good with that. I think that's a good thing. And so I can find peace in it. Jeremiah 30:19 says, from them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor and they will not be disdained. A thankful attitude. God tells us that when we have a thankful attitude, he says here that we're going to that they add to their numbers. I like that. More people that are a part of God's family adding to their numbers. Why? Because they see an attitude of thanksgiving. From them, there will be songs of thanksgiving and sounds of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers. When we're thankful, when we're rejoicing, again, it's hard to rejoice if there's not something that you're thankful for. But people want that. The world around us not only needs it, it wants it. And he says that when we live those kind of lives, it's important for us to be thankful. It's important for us to rejoice. When I think about rejoicing, I think about the fact that I am openly voicing my thanksgiving. It's one thing, I can be thankful and maybe not. That's an attitude inside of my own heart, my own mind. But when I rejoice, I see that as an outward expression. So I'm thankful, but it causes me to rejoice. But that outward expression to the world says, oh, there's somebody that's got something that I think that I'd like to have in my life. What is it that makes them be able to be happy and at peace and rejoice? I don't have that. My life is stressful and lots of anxiety and worry and conflict, and how do I have that? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. That's how you add to your number. And he says that when you do that, when we it's important that we take our thanksgiving and we make an outward expression of it so that people that need that can say, oh, there is something, there is hope, there is a chance for me to have happiness in my life, and we can share the good news of the gospel with them. 1 Chronicles 16:18 says, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Well, that's what I see rejoicing as. When we rejoice, it's an outward expression. We are making his deeds known to the world around us. All of these things are about people. I'm reading to you specifically today passages that talk about being thankful for people, thankful for the body of Christ, thankful for one another. Am I thankful that I have a roof over my head and food on the table? Yes. Am I thankful that I have a car that runs? Yes. I mean, we're all thankful for those kinds of things, okay? But, and I don't mean to say we shouldn't think about with gratitude about those things. But in all these passages, when God talks about thanks and being thankful, he talks about people. Thank God for you. That's what he's saying. Thank God for you. And I want to say today, and I want to purposely, in my own heart, in my own mind, remind myself that I am thankful for you. And I want you to know that I am thankful for you. Because as I said, I don't know why I think the things that I do and how I, but I know that for myself, when I was thinking about, I want to know what I'm really grateful for. It brought me to that place that when at the, you're at the end of life, looking back, what are you going to be most, what's going to be most important to you? That's the thing that you should be most thankful for. And it's people. It's going to be the people that I've known, my family and the relationships I've had. And I'm not going to think about anything else. Folks, I mean, think about that. I'm not going to sit there and think about, I mean, hey, I love my little gym at my house, okay? But I'm not going to, that isn't going to mean anything to me at that point in time. Hello? It's only going to be the people that I've had relationships with. That's it. That is it. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3 says, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I thank God for all of you? Because you're my friends, because you're my body. You're my co-workers in the kingdom, but also because it says of your work produced by faith. I thank God that you're willing to labor in the kingdom. It's produced by your faith, your labor prompted because of your love. That love causes you to labor in the kingdom of God. And for the endurance inspired, it says by hope, that we have eternal hope in Jesus Christ. And so we endure, we continue to go on, we continue to move forward because of our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for all of those things. Let me close with this, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 14 and 15. He says, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. It is the fact that we have what's being described, the fact that we have eternal life in Christ that should cause thanksgiving to overflow. We can thank God for all of these things, but when it comes right down to it, what matters and the reason it's possible is because we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. When he's raised from the dead, we will be raised from the dead. And because of that, it says it causes thanksgiving to overflow. We are thankful because the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Christ and present us with him in God's presence. We are thankful because that grace that saved us will reach more and more people. That's the whole purpose of advancing the gospel. And because we are thankful that more and more thanksgiving will overflow, it says, to the glory of God. Our thanksgiving should overflow to the glory of God. And that is to who and why we give thanks at this time of year. We give thanks to God and we give it because we have eternal life in Christ. And we are all partners in that journey. We're all partners in that effort. And so I just really felt impressed this year, for if nothing else, that you leave here this morning knowing that I thank God for you. And hopefully that maybe you will all be reminded that the most important thing to all of us that we should be thankful for is the people in our lives. I'm grateful for everything God has blessed me with materially, but I know that when it's all said and done, it's about each other, amen? It's about people. So thank God for somebody that's special in your life this Thanksgiving time of year. Take time to purposely remember them and thank God for them. And then maybe the other 364 days a year, we should treat each other like we're thankful for one another. I know that would make God happy, amen. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, Lord, and I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, for the people that are part. And Lord, I just feel really impressed right now. I didn't expect this, but I feel like I need to be repentant of all the times that I haven't been thankful for people. And there have been so many. Lord, forgive me. I want to do better at appreciating the people in my life. How I treat them is how I treat you. That's what your word tells us. I've not done a very good job at that. I'm certainly no better than anyone else, and they're certainly no worse than me, because I'm as broken as anybody. We're all broken. But God, my brothers and sisters help make me whole. That's what they're there for. God, I pray that every family, every person, every family would have a blessed Thanksgiving, that we have reason, an opportunity to be grateful for the people in our lives. And Lord, ultimately we thank you for the person of Jesus Christ in our lives, that we will be raised with him and presented in his presence to receive a gift that we do not deserve. And Lord, for that we are eternally thankful, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say something before we dismiss. I meant every word I said there and in my prayer, and I'm going to tell you this at the same time. I'm going to blow it, and I'm going to break it, and I'm going to be a hypocrite probably before the next 24 to 48 hours is over with. I can't help it. I'm a broken, flawed person. So pray for me, that I not be so broken, because I can be incredibly tunnel visioned on myself and in the moment. So I'm just warning you. It doesn't mean it's not true. Just because I can't keep it the way that I should doesn't mean it's not true. It just means I'm a human being, okay? So, God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.